Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. We've all heard the expression that a picture is worth 1,000 words. That is certainly true here, isn't it? These first two verses, can you picture this scene in your mind's eye? The Lord Jesus is surrounded by publicans and sinners. Publicans. There was hardly a group of men living in Jerusalem at that time that were more despised, more hated than publicans. They collected taxes for the Roman government from their own people, from the Jews. They were hated. And sinners, sinners. Is that not a beautiful picture? That's a beautiful picture. The Lord Jesus Christ welcomed sinners to come to Him. But that's not all. Outside of that circle, outside of that enclosure of publicans and sinners surrounding the Lord, there's another group of people. They're the religious people, very religious people. They're the Pharisees and the scribes. And they look on the scene. They look on the scene with disgust. They're repelled by what they see here. And they say among themselves, look at that. What a disgusting sight. This man's doing what they would never think of doing. If they were walking on the street and brushed up against a sinner, they'd go home and change clothes. They would consider it they'd been defiled even by coming in contact with one. And they say with disgust, looking upon this scene of the great shepherd, surrounded by publicans and sinners, they say, This man receiveth sinners. But in that picture, the center of attraction, the center of attention, is Jesus Christ Himself, is it not? I want us to consider this picture here in these few verses. The great shepherd of the sheep. That's what we have here. And he tells them that as the great shepherd, he seeks his sheep. He finds his sheep. And he saves his sheep. He does all three. He does all three. If they're done, John. If a sinner's ever found, Christ will have to go out and find him. He'll have to do it. He'll have to search for him. If he's ever saved, the great shepherd will have to do the saving. Do you see that there when we read it? What did the sheep do? He wandered away. What did he do in the matter of his salvation, his rescue? Nothing, nothing. The great shepherd did it all. These 99 our Lord speaks of as being left in the wilderness, I think represent the Pharisees. They didn't need finding. They didn't need to be found. Ask them. They've never been lost. They've never been lost. Turn back, if you will, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. After our Lord called one of these publicans to be a disciple of his, one of the apostles, Matthew, Levi. Matthew made a feast for our Lord and invited many other publicans and sinners to come and sit down with him. And our Lord was there. Verse 10 of Matthew 9. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. They didn't have a clue what he meant. They didn't have a clue. Verse 13. But go in ye and learn what that meaneth. Learn what this means. And he quotes from Hosea. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. All your so-called labors, all your attempts at self-righteousness mean nothing. As a matter of fact, they're worse than nothing, he tells them. You trying to lay a foundation of acceptance before a holy God by your own works is futile. It's futile. He says, go and learn what that means, for I am not come to call the righteous like you claim to be, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. And so he does. On another occasion, they told him, when he spoke about the Son of Man making sinners free, they said, we've never been in bondage. At the very time they spoke those words, they were in bondage under the Roman government. But they said, we've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou then that you shall make us free? Notwithstanding. I mentioned that this is a beautiful picture. Under this picture, there could be this caption. This blessed everlasting truth. This is a faithful saying. One redeemed sinner wrote. This is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's what he does. He saves sinners exactly as he finds them. He doesn't find them as believing sinners. He grants them faith. But when he finds them, he doesn't find them as believing or repenting, or willing, or living. He finds them just as they are, lost. Lost. Helpless. Without strength. Without God. Without hope. That's who Christ came to save. In John chapter 9, after our Lord healed and found and saved that blind man, again the Pharisees gathered around him and said, are we blind also? And he said, if you were really blind, you'd have no sin. But now you claim you see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. What he was telling them, you claim to have never been lost. And if you've never been lost, you've never been found. If you've never been stripped of that robe of your own self-righteousness, then you've never been clothed in that robe, the best robe, of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you've never been brought down, if you've never been stripped, if you've never been brought down by the Holy Spirit's work, then you've never been lifted up by God's mighty grace. You can't have one without the other. I've told you before, perhaps you knew it before I even made mention of it, but Brother Henry said one time he was speaking to a lady and asked her, ma'am, are you a Christian, Brother Henry? She replied, I've been a Christian all my life. Henry said, ma'am, that's too long. That's too long. And so it is. There's no such thing. But I've had people tell me that. Have you? In answer to the question, are you a believer? Oh, yes, I've always been a believer. Really? You've never been lost? You've never been lost. If so, then you've never been found. Oh, yes, the great shepherd of the sheep. Consider just a few things here concerning the great shepherd. See him as he seeks his sheep. See him when he finds his sheep. And then see him as he saves his sheep. First of all, the great shepherd seeks his sheep. Look again at verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Until he find it. The shepherd takes the initiative. The shepherd must take the initiative. He goes out in search of the sheep. The sheep will never be found if he doesn't do it. If Christ doesn't take the initiative, if he doesn't go and find the sheep will never be found. The prophet said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Paul wrote, "There is none that seeketh after God." Not one. Not one. The sheep wander away. They can do that. They can do that. But they'll never wander back. You remember the first thing our father Adam did after the fall, after he sinned and disobeyed God. The first thing he did when he heard the voice of God calling him, "Adam, where art thou?" The first thing he did was try to hide from God. He tried to hide from God. Adam was neither willing nor able to come to God. God came seeking him. Man has been trying like Adam to hide from God ever since. And one of their favorite hiding places is in the churches. One of their favorite hiding places is in religion. One of the favorite places. Oh, but the great shepherd, as he says here, he goes out in search of his sheep. He seeks his sheep. Listen to these words in Ezekiel chapter 34. Speaking of the great shepherd. Ezekiel 34 verse 11. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." I'll do both. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall they their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind upon that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed with judgment." This is the very reason the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth in search of his sheep. "I came down from heaven," he said, "not to do my own will," this is John 6, "but the will of him that sent me," that is God his Father. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose none." Never a man spake like this man. "I should lose none, but raise them up again at the last day." This is why, in search of his sheep, it was necessary for him to be made like unto his brethren. This is why, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Here comes the great shepherd in search of his sheep, made of a woman, made under the law. In sacrifice, he said, in burnt offering, an offering for sin, "You have had no pleasure. Therefore I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O my God." Notice again in verse 4 it says, he goes out searching for it until he find it. Until he find it. He will not abandon the search. No, he won't. No matter the cost. He will not quit until he finds his sheep. Look a few pages over here in Luke chapter 19. This is exactly what we have here in Luke 19. The great shepherd will not quit the search until he finds what he's looking for. In Luke 19, and when Jesus came to the place, verse 5, he looked up. There's one of his sheep, Zacchaeus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for the day I must. I like that, don't you? I must abide at thy house. One day he said to his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. Why? There's one of my sheep over there. There's one of my sheep possessed by 2,000 demons. I'm going over to find him. He can't come to me. He's not able to come to me. It's against his nature to seek me. And if I don't find him, he'll remain in that condition. Let's cross over and find that one sheep given unto me by the Father. For the same reason he said on another occasion, or rather we read on another occasion, he must needs pass through Samaria. And again in John 9, concerning that blind man, we read, when the Lord heard that the Pharisees had cast him out, the Sanhedrin, they'd excommunicated him. We don't need you teaching us. Get out of here. That man's a sinner. When the Lord heard they had cast him out, we're told he found him. He found him. He went out looking for him. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful picture? The great shepherd seeking his sheep. Is that not how it was with you, child of God? Is that not exactly how it was with you, just as we read in this parable? He sought you. He found you. And he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He's still seeking his sheep. With the same power, with the same mighty grace, with the same determination to find them as he ever has. Other sheep I have, he said, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Lord, I like the way he talks, don't you? I must bring. They must hear my voice. They will follow me. There will be one fold. There will be one shepherd. They have eternal life and they will never perish. Oh, that's the promise of the great shepherd of the sheep. Mothers, fathers, don't give up. Don't give up on those prodigal sons and daughters. They may say they won't come, but if the great shepherd says otherwise, they will come. If the great shepherd says they will come, they will. He said, all that the Father giveth me will come to me. They will come to me. They say, I won't. He says, you will. Who's going to have their way? Who's going to have their way? Whose will it will prevail? None other than he who is the mighty God. My people shall be willing in the day of my power, he says. The Lord willing, this coming Saturday, I am so looking forward to it. I wish you could all be there. I'll baptize a rebel who said, I won't come. I won't bow. I won't believe in your God. I don't want to hear the gospel. And when I get out of this house, I'll never go hear it again. That rebel, my youngest son, I'm going to have the honor of baptizing. He said, I won't come, but the great shepherd said, oh, you will come. You will come. In the day of my power, you will come. You will bow. And so he did. Why? Because the great shepherd says, I'll seek until I find. Oh, just like this father said concerning his son, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Was he lost? But now he's found, and they began to make merry. Secondly, at verse 5 here in Luke 15, and when he had found it, when he had found it, not if. There are no ifs, perchances, hope sos, maybes concerning the Son of God. And when he had found it, when he seeks his sheep, he finds his sheep. He's not the frustrated shepherd, but the great shepherd. It's written of him in Isaiah 42, he shall not fail. He shall not fail. He shall not fail to find his sheep. He shall not fail to save his sheep. He shall not fail to keep his sheep. He shall not fail to bring them all to glory. It'll be the boast of the captain of our salvation concerning that multitude of sinners that he lost none. No. How could he? He's the great shepherd. He that is mighty to save. Imagine this. Can you imagine this? When he has found it, we should read, he can't save him. He won't cooperate. He's not willing. This rebel won't take the first step. Therefore, my hands are tied. My hands are tied until he does. This search was for nothing. Nonsense. And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Oh, that's another blessed picture, isn't it? Can you see that? There's the faithful shepherd reaching down, picking up his wandering sheep, and placing it over his shoulders, holding it firmly, securely in his mighty arms. When he finds his sheep, he saves his sheep. He picks him up, as the psalmist said. He came to where I was. He reached down in that horrible miry pit and he lifted me up. Bless his name, as only he can. He layeth it on his shoulders. A picture of his mighty grace. Those are shoulders. Shoulders of omnipotence. Heaven and earth are upheld by those shoulders. All things are made by him and maintained, sustained by him. All the purposes of God are fulfilled by him. The lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He carries his sheep. He carries his sheep. He bears all the weight of the sheep. It's his responsibility. It's entirely by his strength, his grace, his mercy, his power that sheep is held. What's the sheep doing? He's being carried. He's being carried. The shepherd's doing everything for the sheep. Child of God, you're on his mighty shoulders. You're kept in his hands. Oh, you're safe, secure. Oh, Augustus Toplady wrote a hymn entitled, A Debtor to Mercy Alone. A part of it goes like this. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Things future or things that are now, not all things below or above, can make him his purpose forego, or sever my soul from his love. My name from the palms of his hand, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given. More happy but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. Do you notice that word at the end of verse 5? Rejoicing. We read in Hebrews 12 that our great shepherd, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He that carried the great load of our sins shall certainly carry those for whom he shed his blood all the way home. Last of all, that brings us to our last thought here in verse 6. And when he cometh home. Again, notice it doesn't say if he comes home. Oh, but when he cometh home. I go, he said, to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you where I am. Where I am. That's heaven. That's glory. That's enough for us to know now. What's heaven? It's where he is. It's where he is. What's heaven? It's where the King of glory is. It's where he is that loved me and gave himself for me. And he says where he is, all of his sheep will be brought in time. I go to prepare that place for you. And if I do, I'll come again. Father, he prayed, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Turn, if you will, to chapter 22 here in Luke. Here the great shepherd snatches one of his chosen, one of his sheep, one that he was at that moment redeeming with his own precious blood out of the very jaws of death, as it were. Here in Luke 22, that thief up on the cross. Look what we read at verse 42. No, I'm sorry, chapter 23. Did I say chapter 22? I meant chapter 23. Verse 42. This dying man said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 43, verily, truthfully, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a blessed reality. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. When a child of God dies, when he leaves this world, he's ushered into the presence of the great shepherd of the sheep to be with him in paradise forever. He says again here in verse 6, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. They're not rejoicing prematurely, are they? I mean, after all, I've heard people say we can be saved today and lost tomorrow. We can be a child of God today and a child of the devil tomorrow. We better wait and see whether they make it, as the expression goes. Better wait and see if they reach glory before the rejoicing takes place. Oh no, the great shepherd rejoices because he knows they'll be kept by the power of God. He knows that they'll never perish. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Turn back, if you will, to Psalm 84. We'll wrap this up. The 84th Psalm. We read this concerning every pilgrim, every child of God, here in Psalm 84, verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God, because salvation is of the Lord. It's not their doing, it's his doing. It's not their work, it's his work. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You remember when David finally was seated upon the throne as Israel's king. He asked, is there any left of the seed of Saul that I may show mercy to? I promised my beloved friend, Jonathan, that I would. Is there anyone left? And they said, there's one down in Lodabar. There's one named Mephibosheth. He's a cripple. And David said, go fetch him. Oh, that's what we read up here in Luke 7. Our great shepherd goes and fetches all of his sheep. He fetches them by his mighty grace. So they go down to Lodabar and they fetch Mephibosheth and bring him back to David. And this poor man is scared to death. He's scared to death. He thinks, well, I'm the last one. One of the few remaining of the house of Saul. And now he's going to take my life. I'm going to die just as Saul died. This is the thoughts of Mephibosheth when he comes in to the presence of the king. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8, "And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" David says, "I'm not going to, fear not. I'm not going to do you any harm. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan," verse 7, "thy father's sake." And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house." Down in verse 13, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table." Continually. All of his life long, he ate at the king's table. Peter said, "Child of God, you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned into the bishop and shepherd of your souls. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. God bless you.